Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
If it was the Greek Freak or Ace of Spades, but I know that Giannis Antetokounmpo, PJ Tucker, and the rest of the Milwaukee Bucks were looking and drinking like champions out of the parade today. It's Janae and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Mike Golic Jr. and Myra Metcalf, our ESPN college basketball reporter. You also hear him hosting Sunday morning on ESPN Radio. And Myron, as we are presented by Progressive Insurance, and guests will join us on the Goodyear Hotline. We'll talk to Heather Dinich in about 10 minutes about the meeting that should be happening right now for Big 12 athletic directors and CEOs about Texas and Oklahoma reaching out to the SEC. Myron, I do feel like we have not given you enough time to celebrate today because you are a Milwaukee Bucks fan. You were from there, and you've been watching the parade today. And so have there been any like highlights that stuck out to you from the Bucks getting to celebrate this championship moment?
Just seeing all the people, you know, and just seeing everything, it doesn't feel real, you know. For this is the first time it's happened in my lifetime, you know, 50 years ago. I'm not 50. And to watch everybody and to watch that whole city just full of joy. Like, you know, I'm happy for Giannis. I'm happy for the Bucks organization. But I'm really just happy for the city itself and the way that they're celebrating and really taking this in. And I tell you what, if you meet somebody from Milwaukee now or 100 years from now, they are not going to let you forget this. We're going to hold on to this forever.
And as well they should, Myron, as well Definitely. They should. Like, this has been a transformative experience. And you mentioned Giannis. He's been at the center of all of this. Like, what does Giannis become now for the city? Because I feel like he was already such a darling. He chose to stay there. There's so many endearing stories. We talked to Courtney Cronin about this on Tuesday, where it feels like everyone you talk to has a story about Giannis just being as like normal and lovable and kind around that area. What does this jolt him to, jump him to in the eyes of fans in Milwaukee and Wisconsin in general?
I mean, it makes him iconic. I mean, the Bucks are Milwaukee's team, but they're Wisconsin's team as well. The Packers are certainly Wisconsin's team. And I think it makes him, to me, the icon above Aaron Rodgers. I know a lot of Bucks fans who are saying, you know what, if Aaron Rodgers wants to leave, let him go. They're kind of over the Aaron Rodgers drama. They're frustrated that they still don't have anything conclusive at this point with training camp coming. And now they got Giannis, who obviously wants to be in Milwaukee, just won a championship, and he's this has this amazing personality. So I think a lot of people are saying, Giannis, we'll take him. If Aaron Rodgers doesn't want to stay, we'll be okay.
It's so interesting because, Myron, I always figured that Aaron Rodgers would be a pretty easy person for fans to dislike, right? Like, he's the quarterback of your team, and so he does that at such a high level. He helped bring a Super Bowl there. So all of those are reasons to like him. But personality-wise, he's so different than Giannis. We've seen that on display, whether it was hosting Jeopardy, whether it was at the match, where he's just not the same kind of guy. He seems a little bit more aloof. And so I never thought, like, had fans been on his side much before this, Myron? Because that was something I questioned through a lot of this is, I know we play that, is it a good look game with a lot of these players as they go through this? We did this with James Harden as he was forcing his way out of Houston. And at some point, I don't think those guys care, but has the public sentiment been on his side for a while here?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, Aaron Rodgers never had a lot of warm and friendly moments, right? And I think he just is not that kind of guy. Like, he was set on being one of the greatest quarterbacks to ever play the game, and that's what he's done. I think Aaron Rodgers, according to Packers fans, has always been the number two quarterback behind Brett Favre. Because Brett Favre had the personality. He won the Super Bowl, first Super Bowl for a lot of people in my generation. So I think he was always over Aaron Rodgers. But certainly people love to see Aaron Rodgers because he was winning at a very high level. And I don't think anything changed before some of this offseason drama that we've seen between him and the front office with the Packers organization. To see Giannis win it the way he did and to be fun going through Chick-fil-A and doing all the fun things he's doing, I think there are a lot of people who are looking at Giannis and going, yeah, that's my guy. But guess what, Mike? In a couple of weeks, if Jordan Love is the quarterback and the Packers are struggling, the conversation is going to change about what Aaron Rodgers means to that whole fan base.
You're going to miss this. You're going to want this back. And you know what? I know Aaron Rodgers does make it hard because I'm with you. This is all results-based. Every last drop of it. And as soon as he were to come back and start playing well again, all would be forgiven and everyone would sit there and cheer and put the cheese on top of their heads. But Aaron does make it hard. Like, he tweeted out after the Bucks championship. And Aaron Rodgers is, I believe, a minority governor of the Milwaukee Bucks. He tweeted, "Incredible job by Wes and Mark. Peter, John Horst, our GM, made some great, incredible moves, and our stars played like stars. Can't stop 34, hashtag champs." Like, Myron, he was naming everyone under the sun. It was just like when he thanked everyone in that one spot but didn't mention Brian Gutekunst, their GM, and the front office. He's very pointed with this, which elicited a strong response from our friend and NFL analyst Ryan Clark on NFL Live, talking about the message Aaron Rodgers is sending.
The sun is shining. I needed some shade, and I think Aaron Rodgers for providing it. You know what Aaron Rodgers is doing? Aaron Rodgers is sitting at the table with his significant other being like, "Man, Giannis sure looks happy with those trophies, huh? Did you see that Jrue Holiday they got for Giannis? What about the PJ Tucker that they got from Houston? He looks really happy when he's ordering that 50-piece Nuggets." Absolutely, he throwing shade. And to call people out by name, you know what name he didn't say? Brian, as in GM Brian Gutekunst. You should look at what they do for their star, Brian, because clearly you ain't doing the right things, Brian, to keep me there. And that's why I don't want your little funky contract, because it's about my feelings, Brian. I don't have no logic. I don't have no rationale. I'm rich. My fiance rich, and I'm finna be out of here, Brian, and go get your 50-piece Nuggets.
Angle Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Michael Jr. and Myron Metcalf. No Brian here necessarily, but Myron, speaking of his fiance, I was just made aware that Shailene Woodley, Aaron Rodgers' fiance, the stars of films such as Divergent, retweeted a Stephen A. Smith post and video that has the caption, "I really don't get all these folks out here continuing to act like they don't get what Aaron Rodgers is trying to say. It's simple." Now, I've not heard the content of the video, but her retweeting this is a very interesting development in what continues to be, as Ryan said, an off-season or a preseason now full of shade.
Yeah, I think everything he's saying is, it's time for me to go. We haven't heard anything from him. He's doing everything but communicate with the Packers. I think he wants to go somewhere else, man. And that has been the message, which has made, I think, a lot of Packers fans go, you know what? We got to get ready for the next chapter. We don't like it, but we got to prepare for what's ahead. And by the way, Giannis is the icon now, and if Aaron Rodgers doesn't come back, we'll be okay.
Yeah, I think that's kind of going to be the message for everyone here. And by the way, I know this is not going to resonate maybe with the Bucks crowd who hasn't enjoyed this, but if we're going to lump this into the Wisconsin sports conversation, what an embarrassment of riches. Like, I'm sorry, but to go from Brett Favre to Aaron Rodgers and now be like, "Oh, you know what? It's fine. We'll wipe our tears with the trophy and the confetti from our championship parade for the Bucks." Like, it's a very – we have the title town conversation all the time. Yeah. Wisconsin sports in general has had great timing, if nothing else, on when their stars decide to come and go during all of this.
Hey, you know, don't forget the Brewers right now have a chance. Major League Baseball, the Brewers have a chance to do something big. Got the Bucks with the championship if Aaron Rodgers comes back. If we win three championships, I'm probably just going to say that for the rest of my life. A sweater I'm going to wear that says three championships if we do it again in the next year.
Oh, listen, Myron, I always said if Notre Dame won a championship, you guys aren't going to want to know me. You're definitely not going to want to let me in the building for a while. So you have carte blanche, as far as I'm concerned, to go ahead and act however you want right now. Now, speaking of Giannis Antetokounmpo and the video that went viral yesterday of him in the drive-thru of Chick-fil-A ordering a 50-piece Little Nuggets in honor of the 50-piece he dropped in Game 6. According to MVP Index, Giannis's drive-thru video generated 47 posts across Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. The 36.3 million impressions earned Chick-fil-A $294,000 in brand value. Wow. That's unbelievable. We talk about all the NIL money out here. Giannis, the best thing to happen to Chick-fil-A since, I don't know what, the breakfast sandwiches?
He's bigger than that. I mean, he's elevated everything, man.
I know I left work yesterday, and I wanted to see, hey, like, Myron, have you tried Sprite mixed with lemonade? Because Lord knows I haven't, and now I'm going to because of Giannis.
He's got to trademark that, right? Like that's got to become his thing.
I said we call it the Greek Freak. Now, apparently Sprite put out Sprite Lemonade, which sounds like something very similar. But Listen, I don't see why we can't tweak the formula a little bit and then just call it the Greek Freak, and we can all prosper. Giannis and Jeff Darlington going to be the two great influencers of our time. Coming up next, though, let's shift back to the college ranks here because Texas and Oklahoma got everybody freaking out in the Big 12. We will talk to Heather Dinich, our ESPN college football reporter, about what is going on in a meeting amongst the Big 12's elite next here on ESPN Radio.
Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
NFL PR directors, I don't know if you drink, but today might make you start. We will get to some of the fallout, some of the responses we've seen from NFL players about the updated COVID-19 policies, a memo handed down by the NFL earlier today. It's Janae and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. Mike Golic Jr., Myron Metcalf sitting in for Janae Agumake today. And we head now to the Goodyear Hotline to talk to our ESPN college football reporter, Heather Dinich, joining us here now. And Heather, we appreciate you giving us some time today. Hope you're doing well. And saw you tweeted earlier confirming a meeting in a report we saw from Dennis Dodd that the Big 12 ADs and CEOs were meeting at what was 5 o'clock Central today, 6 o'clock Eastern, to discuss the situation. Texas and Oklahoma reaching out to the SEC, inquiring about membership. From anything you heard, do we know how specific this conversation is getting or what's going to really come of this meeting?
No, I spoke with somebody who was going to participate in it earlier today, and that person said that they had no idea what to expect from this meeting. And honestly, people I've talked to within the league have basically expressed that they've been blindsided by this news. Some people have said that they don't think it's going to happen, that this is Texas and Oklahoma posturing to get the Big 12 to pressure them to get a really good TV deal. And other people I've spoken to have said this could happen sooner than later. So, I mean, the honest to goodness truth about this right now is that no one knows what's going to happen or when it might happen. But it's important to remember that if it does, it's going to take 11 of the 14 SEC presidents and chancellors to officially extend an invitation to Texas and Oklahoma if that's the way that they decide to go with this.
Heather, at this point, when a report leaks like this, does that suggest that these talks are advanced and it's just sort of a matter of time before things are formalized?
So my understanding is that it's more than putting feelers out, right? But it is not as formal as Oklahoma and Texas presidents putting in writing to the SEC, hey, we want to join your conference. These are conversations, right? And it's a little bit deeper, like I said, than, quote, putting feelers out there. But that's kind of where it's happened. It's out there, and they're talking about it. Now the question is, how realistic is it? And I think that's part of what this meeting about is as we speak.
Heather, what would you say would be the biggest hurdles then present in this process to get us from where we are now to these two teams in the Southeastern Conference?
Well, I think one of them is the television contract, the grant of rights, which goes through the 2025 season, which means that even if they were to leave the conference, the Big 12 would get their TV money. And, you know, so they could, the rest of the conference can say, okay, we're going to hold you here, you know, for the money. I guess, you know, Oklahoma and Texas could try to pay their way out of it. I mean, look, I've seen money not be a deal breaker before. When Maryland left the ACC had an exit fee of $50 million. They went to court. Maryland wound up paying $31 million, and they're in the Big Ten, and that's how that happened. So I wouldn't say that contracts are the end-all, be-all, but it's certainly an obstacle. And then my colleague David Wilson reported an interesting story today about the gentleman's agreement, which basically said in the SEC, the former chancellor of Texas A&M said, hey, you know, there was an agreement, not written, not a rule, just a sort of a handshake that said, if you are in the same state as another school, you get veto power over whether or not that rival gets to go in. That was a big part of the hangup when, you know, Florida State expressed interest. Well, Florida's there already, right? And you're not going to see Clemson in there. Why? Well, you know, because South Carolina's already in there. And so that's sort of another just kind of issue that they would have to deal with. But if you've got the other thing too is if Texas and Oklahoma have taken it this far, how do you stay, Right? And you've kind of gone through that before. It's like a player who enters the transfer portal and doesn't get picked up. What's that like going back into the locker room? You don't want to be with that team, right? Do they want you? So it's just all about relationships and how that plays out too.
Heather, what impact, if this happens, would an expanded SEC have on the 12-team playoff?
Well, I think that first you have to ask what impact would it have on the entire collegiate landscape in terms of the conferences. I've had people say, wow, if this happens, you know, it could disseminate the Big 12. It could lead to 4 16-team super conferences. One source told me this morning he thinks it could lead to 3 super conferences because the Pac-12 could get watered down. And like I said, the Big 12 would just sort of fall to pieces after this. So, you know, I mean, there are a lot of dominoes that could fall. But as far as the playoff, it could mean more SEC teams getting in because you have Texas and Oklahoma in that league, and they're not winning it, but they're going 10-2, 9-3. Maybe they're in, you know? I mean, with a 4-team playoff as it stands, it's hard to imagine from a competitive standpoint how this makes sense because, you know, they're the big fish in the pond in the Big 12 right now, and Oklahoma's certainly proven semifinalists. So we'll, you know, I guess tackle that when it happens, but it's just another piece of the puzzle.
Janaan Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr. and Myra Metcalf talking to Heather Dinich, our ESPN college football reporter on the Goodyear Hotline. And Heather, you mentioned some of the major conference realignment points here. We've heard a lot of immediate response from inside the Big 12. We've heard some from the SEC. But how much are other conferences keeping an eye on this, other schools keeping an eye on how this plays out right now?
Oh, they're watching it like hawks. I mean, everyone from Power 5 to Group of 5, because they've gone through this before. And if this does happen, they have to be ready for it. And I would be shocked if the Pac-12 and the ACC weren't also having conversations and maybe even talking to Texas as well. So I don't think this is circled and zeroed in entirely just on the Big 12 and the SEC. It definitely has arms that are longer than that. And, you know, if the Big 12 does get picked apart with Oklahoma and Texas leaving, it's going to be a mad scramble for all of those other teams to find homes.
Going to be fascinating to try and watch how this plays out. Again, the meeting going on right now amongst Big 12 ADs and CEOs as it pertains to Oklahoma and Texas, reportedly reaching out to the SEC, talking about the potential of making that switch. Heather, thanks so much for giving us some time. I'm sure we'll talk to you soon as we wait to see what the fallout looks like.
Sounds good, guys. Thanks.
Awesome stuff from Heather Dinich. Just such a great job covering college football. And the preseason's starting awful early right now for a lot of college football reporters after this news. But coming up next, as we get ready to head into the NFL's preseason, we know the now most prevalent question asked of your favorite star players is, how are you feeling about the NFL's new policies and new mandates surrounding COVID-19? We'll get to the response from some high-profile players next here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Janaan Golic Jr., the podcast.
Janaan Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Our thanks to Heather Dinich, our ESPN college football reporter, for joining us in the last segment. If you missed any of that conversation, check it out in the Janaan Golic Jr. podcast. Mike Golic Jr. and Myron Metcalf hanging out with us today. And Myron, how about this little bit of juice on top of that? Because we talked to Heather about the reports that the Big 12 was having a meeting, a call for all the athletic directors and CEOs of the Big 12 schools to talk about the situation with Oklahoma and Texas. According to Nicole Arbach and The Athletic, neither Oklahoma nor Texas are on the call tonight.
That's not surprising, right? I mean, since everyone's talking about them. And I think, you know, and Heather mentioned this, Mike, how do you go back? Like how, if they want to go back, how does that happen at this point? Like, it seems like the Big 12 is going to have to make a decision about moving on and what that looks like without Texas and Oklahoma potentially.
I'd say this on that front, Myron, before we get to some of what's going on in the NFL with the updated COVID-19 memo that's gone on, because Heather likened it to the transfer portal where a player puts their name in the portal and then comes back. It's very easy to accept someone back when they are great. Like, if all of a sudden it's a transfer portal quarterback, like if Spencer Rattler decided he was going to enter the transfer portal, and then he said, you know what, I'm going to come back to Oklahoma. Lincoln Riley would be the first one there to welcome him back with open arms. And so I have a feeling if Texas and Oklahoma ultimately decided, hey, we want to come back and we just want more of a say in things, a lot of those schools that might be twisting in the wind without them would accept them back pretty quickly to make sure they can keep eating the way they do right now.
Yeah, I guess I just wonder how many times you can threaten to leave. Like at what point does it become, you know what, this is going to happen. If not today, then at some point down the line, we need to kind of prepare for that future. So I just wonder how many teams in that league are thinking that way.
Well, we'll find out. We'll see if there's any fallout from this call. Again, all 10 Big 12 schools were invited to attend the call. But again, according to Nicole Arbach and The Athletic, neither Texas nor Oklahoma were on that call. Now, switching over to the NFL, Myron, we had the updated COVID-19 protocol memo sent out by the league office today. And I want to preface this with what should be a starter in this conversation, that according to Roger Goodell and the league, 75% of NFL players are at least partially vaccinated, and more than half the teams are above that 80% vaccination rate threshold, which eases a lot of the restrictions. So, Myron, I don't know about you, that's already higher than I was expecting at this point in time.
Yeah, I don't know if it would be over 50%, but clearly a lot of these guys are taking it seriously. But there's certainly a segment of some of these NFL players who have to make some tough choices here. Or I don't think it's a tough choice. Got to make some choices here in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, do have to make some choices in the next couple of weeks because the NFL sent out a memo. And basically, this memo outlined that NFL players and teams would have to be prepared to potentially forfeit games if a COVID-19 outbreak on the team was caused by unvaccinated players. They would be in a spot where, because the NFL is trying to operate in its 18-week window and doesn't want to add any extra weeks into this, doesn't have a lot of buffers to move games around, that not only would that game be forfeited and that loss attached to the team who had the outbreak of unvaccinated players, but everybody would forfeit their game checks on both teams. And Myron, I can't imagine, and I'm curious for your thoughts of how that conversation starts to go over as we get everyone back in the locker room together.
I mean, that changes the tone, right, Mike? Like, now you're talking about money. You're talking about forfeiting games, forfeiting a game check. And also, how many teams on the brink, if this situation actually happens, that could cost you a spot in the playoffs. So there are real ramifications here for the people who decide not to get vaccinated. Again, you can make it political if you want. This is about business, and that's what the NFL is trying to stress here. I think teams are going to handle this internally. Like, I don't think it's going to be Roger Goodell. I don't think it's going to be the policy or even the coaches and GMs. It's going to be the veterans and the leaders in these locker rooms who are going to say, listen, this is what we need to do so that someone doesn't mess up my money. I think that conversation, Mike, is what we're going to see here in the coming weeks and months.
It is, and that's going to be a conversation had amongst the players. But one of the interesting things about these conversations, because we've seen Jalen Ramsey on Twitter, DeAndre Hopkins on Twitter, tweeting about not wanting to take the vaccine, feeling like this is an attack on their freedom here. And normally the next thing out of people's mouths would be, well, what's the NFLPA going to do to back their players? And this is where Jeff Darlington, our ESPN NFL insider, joined us earlier on Chiney and Golic Jr. and talked about the PA's reaction to this memo.
Well, to me, one of the more interesting elements of it is the fact that the NFL Players Association has come forward and sent a memo to its contingency, its players, and said that really showed no animosity toward the NFL for this, basically saying these are similar rules to what were in play last year that were collectively bargained, and basically that's the way it's going to be. I don't sense much in terms of like the NFLPA planning to put on some kind of fight to defend players that are choosing to not get vaccinated.
And Myron, this seems like the spot to remind everybody who might cry foul at this that the NFLPA's job is to represent the majority of players. And when we say again that 75% of the league is at least partially vaccinated, the health and safety of the majority is on their mind. And this vaccine seems to fall under that enough to where the PA is not going to raise any or resist this.
Yeah, and it's obviously these players also understand that this is going to be a different experience if you're not vaccinated. Travel restrictions, wearing masks, socially isolated. So there are going to be a lot of things if you're not vaccinated that you're going to have to deal with in this upcoming season. So most of the players, regardless of why they're doing it, understand those restrictions. For everybody else, Mike, good luck, right? Good luck not being vaccinated in the NFL and all of the regulations and rules that will only apply to you.
Yeah, and this is going to be another one of those situations where how that is even applied is going to be uneven. Like, I would be very curious to see the numbers of who is vaccinated and not in this amongst players that have reached second contracts, gotten big money, versus guys that are trying to make it. Because as a guy who sat on the back end of a lot of rosters trying to make it onto a team here, everyone always told you, you can't make the club in the tub. If you are injured, you're not going to help your chances, so you better stay out of that training room. This is going to be one of those spots where if you're a fringe roster guy, if you're someone trying to get to that second contract and you're risking losing time because you're on the COVID-19 list, which I understand can still happen if you're a vaccinated player, but we're about decreasing the likelihood here. But if you're unvaccinated and all of a sudden you're missing time, it's a very easy decision, I'm sure, for these teams to say, I can go for the undrafted guy who is vaccinated and who is out there on the field versus the guy we just had to sit down because he contracted this virus.
Yeah, and I think those are all factors. I mean, to your point, like Cole Beasley, DeAndre Hopkins, guys who have been talking about this, are also guys who've made a bunch of money in the last couple of years and are set to make even more this year. Jalen Ramsey supporting DeAndre Hopkins. Well, he's set too. So I think there's something to that. The guys who are comfortable financially, they're a little more outspoken on some of these issues.
And again, there is still a choice involved. I know everyone's painting this and feels like they're being bullied or forced into this, but all the NFL is saying is, if you haven't gotten the vaccine, then we've got to treat this like it's the 2020 season all over again for you. Because again, in that season, players were given a choice. Hey, the NFL wanted to keep its money-making machine going, and so they said, if you don't want to play, that's fine. If you think health and safety is important enough to you, you got people at home you care about, that's fine. You can have a $150,000 stipend, but you're not going to get your game checks. You're not going to get your full salary for that season, and you're going to have to come back next year and reassess that. That was the choice everyone got to make. If this means enough for you now to sit down, you've got that choice. If it means enough for you to go into camp not being vaccinated, you've got that choice. The NFL has just attached consequences to that. And for a lot of people that cried foul and said there are certain things you can and can't do on private companies' time when you're on business hours, it's amazing how different it sounds now that the subject is something like a vaccine that, as we've talked about, has become so insanely politicized that it feels like we're always missing the mark, not talking about just that in this conversation.
That's the way it goes, right? I mean, one thing, people stand one place, and then you get sort of the same decisions to be made, and they change their tune.
It's amazing how that tends to work around this subject. So again, the NFL has updated its policy around COVID-19, saying that teams that suffer outbreaks amongst unvaccinated players could face not only fines, but also the possibility of forfeiting their games, the loss column, and game checks to go along with it. Coming up next, though, we've talked so much about college football realignment, these massive super conferences here. Let's get back to what Media Day should be about. Good old-fashioned shade thrown from one coach to another at the podium. That's next here on ESPN Radio.
Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Angle Jr. here on ESPN Radio, and End the Day is brought to you by Indeed. Indeed helps businesses hire great people fast. Visit Indeed.com/credit. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Mike Golic Jr., our thanks to Myron Metcalf, our ESPN college basketball reporter and host on ESPN Radio, kind enough to sit in and hang out with us today for Chinne Agumake. We also had Bomani Jones join us in the first hour to talk about the OU Texas situation. Jeff Darlington, our ESPN NFL insider and budding influencer on social media. And Heather Dinich, our ESPN college football reporter. If you guys missed any of that, make sure you download, subscribe, rate, and review the Chinne and Golic Jr. podcast. All right, go ahead and cut it up, Cliff. I know it's coming.
He can't
here.
Muster that up.
Oh, my God. My body
he
struggles.
He can't muster that up.
Oh, my God. It sounds like I was eating there, and I wasn't. I was just choking.
He can't muster that up.
Oh, my God. This is how it goes around here on this show, Myron. My body betrays me at certain points in time, and this crew is more than ready to tap in and make sure I hear about it.
Sounds about right. I get it.
It sounds about right. So, like I was saying, if you missed any of this, make sure you check out the Chinne and Golic Jr. podcast wherever you get it. Download, subscribe, rate, and review. Let's save me from myself and keep that same energy to finish the show. We want to be a jolt of energy.
Yeah, the energy level was really high there.
And now we want to keep that same energy going.
Keeping that same energy.
Keep that same energy.
You could just sense that there was a tremendous amount of energy.
With Chinne and Golic Jr.
Well, keeping that same energy is brought to you by My Computer Career, training for a better life. And this one kind of threw us all for a loop, Myron. Yermin Mercedes, who was a star for the Chicago White Sox at the beginning of this series before ultimately being sent down to AAA, yesterday took to his Instagram account and announced that he was stepping away from baseball indefinitely. God bless, it's over, was a direct quote on his Instagram account. Only to find out today that he made an announcement on that same Instagram account and was back in uniform tonight for the Charlotte AAA affiliate for the White Sox. So, Myron, I'm not sure what to do with this one other than, man, I guess we've all had some bad days, and sometimes social media just becomes an outlet for that.
Yeah, emotional tweeting is not very reliable, right? I mean, you say something in the moment and you don't mean it seconds later. So maybe it's one of those situations.
Yeah, I think a lot of people looked at the situation surrounding Yermin Mercedes where, you know, he was doing great for such a long time, and then after an instance around hitting a home run in a spot where Tony La Russa told him to take a pitch, a lot of people looked at that and thought that this might have something to do with it. And Myron, I don't know enough about what went on behind closed doors to say that, but I'm glad he's back in uniform right now. As he put it, he's worked too hard for too long to give up on the dream here.
Yeah, no, it's good to see him back.
Great to see him back here. Also, great to see media days going like they should. We've had so much conversation going on around Texas and Oklahoma potentially leaving, about big conference realignment going on. I just want to get back to good old-fashioned conference shade, because Scott Frost, the head coach at Nebraska, took to the podium to make it clear what his program would not be doing this fall. Take a listen.
I'm not into sloganeering. If the players need me to motivate them or all the time or come up with a unique slogan to get them to play harder, I probably don't have the right players. I played for a coach at Nebraska, and Coach Osborne, that he didn't need all the sayings and slogans. He just taught us the right way to do things, and we went to work. That's what we need in our program.
Myron, does that sound like it might be a little bit of a shot at PJ Fleck, who has been rowing the boat and pulling random bits of cotton out of his pocket for years now?
I don't think a little bit of shade. I think that's all of the shade against PJ Fleck, who not only talks about rowing the boat, Mike, I've been in his office. He actually has a boat in his office.
Really?
I mean, he is serious about this. But here's my question. Is this 12-20 in 3 years at Nebraska, Scott Frost? Because, you know, he may not be in the catchphrases, but he's not into winning necessarily. And I think that's been the biggest issue. I mean, to me, fine, it's a quote. He's going after PJ Fleck, but more than anything, he's got to focus on finding a way to turn this thing around in Nebraska.
Yeah, I think Nebraska would mortgage a lot of their life right now to have anything resembling the season that Minnesota had 2 years ago in 2019. Like, that's what I know at this point in time. So, Scott Frost, Nebraska, making news again. I, for one, am shocked. We'll keep an eye on that. It's nice to just get back to something that feels normal at media day, like coaches just being a little bit spicy with one another. It's better. That is college football the way that we need it right now. But, finishing up here, Myron, we had the NHL draft, expansion draft going on for the Seattle Kraken, and they had stars like Sean Kemp, Sue Bird, and Marshawn Lynch announcing picks during the expansion draft. And here is how Marshawn Lynch went about announcing his pick during the draft last night.
First pick, we're going with the boy Cali, though. You know what I'm talking about?
Yup, Cali Yarncrow. You just heard it. Cali Yarncrow. To the Kraken from Beast Mode himself. Thank you so much, as always. Appreciate you.
Hey, and look, Cali, if I didn't pronounce it right, tap in with me and let me know how to do it the right way, big dog.
And you know what, Myron, I appreciate that. He didn't know, and so he apologized. He asked and made sure, hey, I'm going to get this right later on here. I'm going to get with you, but I respect you enough to apologize.
Yeah, I mean, and from this, only one thing makes sense for me, Mike. Marshawn Lynch should announce every pick in every single draft in sports. NHL, NBA, NFL, Major League Baseball. That should be his job post-retirement, in my opinion.
Ambassador of sport.
I love
Seems like a great place for Marshawn Lynch at this point. Just send him various places representing every league at once, because what we've seen is it works.
Yes, he does.
The universal solvent. Awesome stuff from him. Awesome stuff hanging out with you, Myron. We really appreciate you coming and spending some time with us today, man.
Yeah, thanks for it, man. Having fun.
Awesome stuff here. Lots more news that we get to follow up on here. The Big 12 meetings going on today here. Continued reaction from NFL players around the league to updated COVID-19 policies. Stay right here on ESPN Radio. Spain and Fitz going to make sure you got all that covered coming up next. Chinay and Golic Jr. podcast.
Thanks for listening to Janae and Golic Jr. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, and wherever you stream your audio.